We're going to be reading in the second chapter of Luke. It's a very many passages of Scripture. It's very often you have, come Christmas time, that this passage of Scripture is read. It's just so interesting how all these things came about to fulfill prophecy. You know, I heard this week that someone made the accusation that the account cannot take place as it's recorded in Scripture. After all, if Mary was pregnant, how could she ride on a donkey to Bethlehem? And you know, though I didn't hear it, I don't know where that was said, if it was on some a radio broadcast or whatever, or a television show, but you know, it was told to me, and I thought, and I just had a chuckle, because I can remember, I believe it was Marie Hall, which was an elderly woman that, when I grew up in church as a child, she told me of the account where her mama was out in the field, I think they were hoeing corn, and come to the house and didn't make it to the house, and had a baby right there underneath the tree in the yard, and we live so such cushy lives, I guess, that there's a lot of people that think that you couldn't ride a donkey if you was pregnant. Well, you know, I'm not thoroughly searched the Scripture as far as to read the prophecy, but I don't think it says that she did. We get a wonderful picture a lot of times. We know that the Catholic have placed Mary upon a high pedestal, and I know, I believe in Bethlehem, a lot of places they have a woman that's depicting Mary riding on a donkey. Well, if she did, that's not to say she rode on it very long. She probably walked like so many other people walk. She could have been on a camel, maybe. They might have swapped off road. It's not important. What's important is the fact that they come to Bethlehem to be taxed. And it says, if you would want to read it, it says, in the fourth chapter, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now listen, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. This is the second chapter of Luke. And it says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. No room in the inn, so the baby was laid in a manger. You know, I told my wife, I said, well, we don't even really know if Mary carried that baby full term. You know, you go to the doctor today, and they'll give you an ultrasound. They'll first talk to you and ask you some questions and tell you the due date. Then a lot of times today, they'll give you an ultrasound and take a measurement of that fetus, and they'll give you another due date. And you know, what I find to be a humorous somewhat, that with all of our technology, we've had three kids so far, and we're expecting our fourth, but they've never hit it. To my knowledge, have they, honey? They have, because they give you two dates, they can't hit it. They're going to be wrong on one of them. I guess maybe if they give you five dates, they come closer to hitting it. But as it says here, that she was heavy with child, and so that it was that the days were accomplished. That don't mean that she necessarily carried it till full term. She carried it until she had it. And I don't know, maybe the trip was so great that it even caused Mary to have the baby. We don't know how rough it was, but one thing I was thinking about was that Joseph returned to Bethlehem. Why it was, it says, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You know, there's a song, I don't know if you all know it, but it's about a right stranger to me. And the story is that a man goes back home and nobody knows him. Everything has changed, and it's because those people that he held dear had moved on. They've died. And
was the case with Joseph. I was thinking about, because he was of the town of Bethlehem, who could you show up to a kinsman door and say, oh, look, my wife is about to have a baby. Could you make room for her? But they didn't realize who she was, or more importantly, what she carried. I think about the man at the end. Now listen, can you imagine? I don't know what the population of that little town of Bethlehem was, but when the king Herod said everybody's to go to their hometown to be taxed, I'd imagine that it swelled above. No doubt it increased four times over, if not greater, in population. Can you imagine being an innkeeper of a small inn at a place? You was making room. You had so much to do. I imagine it was, as it were, maybe in old England, that an innkeeper, that you not only got a room to sleep, but you got something to eat. Can you imagine the bustle? How much he was overwhelmed. I was seeing to not only to the people, but to the stock, to make a place for the donkeys, or the camels, or whatever they traveled on. I'm sure that he was overwhelmed. And then in a late hour, you would have thought maybe Joseph and his wife being pregnant with a law would have left plenty of time to get there. Maybe that speaks about how troubled the way he was. I'm sure he probably did leave in time. But maybe because he had to stop. Maybe I believe he was a godly man. He had to stop and pray and say, Lord, Lord, help me not to have this baby along the side of the road somewhere where there might be vandals or robbers to come. And as she was there, I walked a little while being heavy with child. Maybe they had to stop. And they, I don't know if they knew that everything was going to be all right. Because I believe it's prophesied in the book of Micah where it said that the Christ child would be born in the town of Bethlehem. But I wonder if that made them. To tell them shepherds, and I'll give you a sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then he goes on to say, well, the angels left, and the shepherds said, let us go and find that baby. Well, I want to tell you today, they didn't go and look in king's palaces. They didn't look into maybe some of the rich, the kinsmen of Joseph. But the angel told them, you'll find it in a manger. And so they looked, and guess what? When they came to Bethlehem, it says that they found Joseph and Mary and the babe lying in a manger. Aren't you glad we can be on the road? We can have that journey. I'll be traveling down the road and worried about whether we'll get there or not. And the Lord has already made the way. He's already prepared the place. Now listen, that's a blessing in itself, is it not? A town so crowded, how to even find a place in a stable. But God had prepared it. There was no doubt dry hay. The place in that manger, I don't know if it was stone or made of wood. It don't matter. But I know one thing, that the Son of God came as a frail baby a long time ago. And he bore the sins of the world. so that we can stand today and rejoice on this Sunday morning. Not a Saturday, mind you, the day of the Old Testament rest, but a Sunday morning we worship on this day, because not of the birth of Jesus Christ, but that great and glorious resurrection. And I'm glad of it. But now listen, if a man, if the innkeeper would have just took some time, but he was no doubt busy in this life, did not realize who stood at his door, that it was the Savior of the world. How do you know? How do you know? Would he not give his own bed off and said, come in, you can bet that precious child right in my bed. But he did not know. Or no doubt he was busy in what he was doing. There was no high priest there when the knock come upon the door to save all the Christ, because the priest rejected him and not denied him. There were no preacher there declaring the wonderful news. Let him in. This is Jesus, the Messiah, who has come to bear the sins of the world. But there was no preacher there. And if had there been, and he refused as the high priest to believe him. And now listen, the innkeeper no doubt would have said, leave me alone. Quit trying to tell me of my business. There's no room. I've already told you. But if he had believed the good news, surely he would have opened his door. But there was no preacher. For God, had it been, had he been sent, he'd have been there. But there was no preacher, for he was not sent. But the news on that night was not to be a bore. The Bible speaks about the preacher and his feet and how that they are blessed. But there was no preacher there. Fleshly man to declare to the innkeeper or to those in Bethlehem that night. But where we find is something much greater when the angels come. And who did he come to? Didn't come to the magistrates, to those that could have adorned that little Jesus in that manger. Or had they come but to those, even to the innkeeper, keeper, no doubt he'd have win and said, I'm so sorry, won't you bring that baby into my house? Everything I have is yours. But he come to those that were truly of a position not to shed anything or to give anything to that Christ child except their praise. When he come to those that were out in the field, the Bible says, watching after the sheep. I wonder if maybe some of them even were of the town of Bethlehem. But because of their job, their job was to tend to the sheep. Maybe even some of them were distant kin to Joseph. But right strangers, but because of the time and how it passes, ain't it something that you can move from a place and it don't take one or two generations? A lot of times it don't even take a decade and people move on with their life. I'm as guilty as the next guy. You know, I was thinking about it this week. I've got 3 children. You know, people tell me they ain't got time to do this and to do that. And sometimes I have to chuckle to myself. Why? Because Daryl ain't no different than somebody else. I want to... tell you this, not say so that you pity me, but I have to be a father and a husband to my wife. You know that I'll work a job at night, but because I got laid off, I tried to start a business, and I really don't know what's going on at the factory, so I try to keep that business going. And my father to help me, and then we've got the farm, and people say they ain't got time. Well, I reckon I know where they're coming from, but listen, if we just make the time, they open up the door. When we hear the knocking, we might find more than the Christ child, but we might find the risen Savior. More than just a fragile baby in a manger, but a mighty king. The Bible tells me, the one that says, at the right hand of my Father. Why is he my Father? Because he sent his Son to make the way, glory to God, that I might not be a right stranger, but that I can be. I can be one of his children. I don't need to go to Bethlehem to see where he was born, but I can rejoice and know that in August 21st, 1982, that little baby coming to my heart as a resurrected Lord and changed my life forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes. There was times in my life, because of the cares of this world, that I heard once again the knocking on that door. I'm afraid that if we would but just open up, we would see what the Lord has for us. A man was talking to me and was talking about how wonderful this season is. A man that goes to the church that he attends, my understanding is, he goes as often as he can, but once again, he's so busy, and he goes over so to boil it all down, he goes to church when he ain't got nothing else to do. I love him dearly. He's dear to my heart, but unfortunately, the cares of this world, you know why he's dear to my heart is because he loves to farm. And to me, it's amazing that some people and why they farm. Others, it's because of a crop they put in the ground, and they enjoy it, and they receive of that, and they have the cattle there to eat the crop. But that's really just a sideline, because that part of the business they don't care for as much. But it's to till the earth, or it's to do this. Some of it's the mercy. I know some farmers that are simply a farmer because they love, believe it or not, they love to work on farm equipment. They love to buy a old rusty tractor, get it for next to nothing, and build it up to where it's painted and it looks brand new. They don't so much love cutting hay as they do driving around on a tractor. And if you're going to drive around on a tractor, you might as well cut hay. But this particular man, he loves, because he had cattle. He grew up on a farm with it. But in his mind, a farmer is one that tills the earth. And he goes to great lengths. He breaks the land all around to put that crop in. And because of his blood for that, it breaks my heart. Because he'll go and he'll check on the corn come Sunday morning. Why? Because his love for that corn is greater than the love of his Savior. That makes me kind of wonder if he's really been acquainted with the one. Or maybe it was as on that night in Bethlehem, the door was knocked upon and it was answered. But they really didn't realize who had stood at their threshold. Or they'd have done things maybe a little different. We heard. I believe it was yesterday. Have you heard? You hear it on the radio. I believe the man's last name is Guido. But he always has a short segment. He was talking about that in his Christmas play, that this little boy was going to be the innkeeper. And he said, I don't want to be. He was a mean person. And they said, well, no. We need somebody to play every card. And you're the innkeeper. So you've got to practice your lines and you've got to say them. So he practices his lines. And they rehearse the play as all church plays do. Over and over again. But you know what? All the night of the play, when he answered the door, he says, we have no room for you. But won't you just come in and sit a while and eat some cookies? Even that little child understood who was knocking at the door, and he didn't want to turn him away. Have you in the past turned my Savior away? Maybe you didn't realize what he was there for. When you opened up your heart and let him in, that's not the last time, is it? At any time, from time to time, knocks at our heart's door. You say, no, wait a minute. And you're born again. And you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And blessed. Thank God. But there's times that because of the cares and the hustle and the bustle of this world, we're like the innkeeper. And we hear the knock. And we say, I've got too much to do. I'll talk to you later, Jesus. And not realize he knows you're in search of a place to lay your head. And he's already made a way. He's already prepared a stable. It's not a palace, but it's warm and it's dry. And it has the presence of my Lord.
Bless the Lord.
It's a mission born of God. And I'm thankful that when he knocked on my door, I've seen him more than a baby. I've seen him as my resurrected Lord. There's some today that have chosen him and asked him in. Has seen him as a way of escape of the fiery judgment of God. But I'm here to declare to you today, he's much more. Aren't you glad? I have more than just a promise of a home and glory. But I have a promise of peace and contentment in this life if I would but follow him. So where have you looked and searched in order that you might find the Savior? The Bible teaches me, if you was to read on in the second chapter of Luke, the shepherds left. And what was the shepherds told? They were told that there was one coming. That his name is Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The angels told the shepherds, what did they tell them? They said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe
wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And we know that because of this great sight that the other shepherds wanted to go and they wanted to find Him. Once again, as we've already said, they did not look in the palaces or the fine rich houses, but because of they were told of where they might find Him or where they would find Him, they went. And I don't know how many stables was in that little town of Bethlehem. But the Bible teaches me that they found Him. And they went away. It says in the 20th verse, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Felt and wondered. Do you think that the shepherds there had a full comprehension of what that baby that they seen lying in the manger would do? We know that it was communicated to them that He is born in the a Savior in the city of David, Christ the Lord. But did they have a comprehension of what that meant? I truly believe they knew that it was a special time. Amen. I don't know, maybe some of those shepherds were more versed in the prophets than others. Some maybe had a better understanding of what was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would do. But you know, if you read the New Testament and what the Pharisees and all of them thought, that they were looking for an earthly king, to set up an earthly kingdom, were they not? I wonder if some of those shepherds that were rejoicing for all that they had seen were looking forward to an earthly kingdom. Maybe they thought, we've seen the Messiah, that one that's going to come and get the Roman rule off the top off of our back. I don't know. But I truly believe that not every one of them could even begin to imagine the life of Christ and what He would experience. Maybe that's the way you are today. Maybe when just as the shepherd, you come to the Lord and you had in your mind where the journey would take you. You had in your mind where Christ might lead you. But because of the recent current events, you might be somewhat discouraged. You might somehow think this is more than you signed up for. I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you that just as Mary looked into that little baby's face, I don't believe that she could have ever imagined seeing Him there with the crown of thorns placed upon His head and beat down with the rod. She couldn't imagine how sweet and precious He was. That when He gave the words of life, people wanted to put Him to death. She couldn't imagine that her family and friends, no doubt, would reject Him as the Savior. But still, yeah, just as she cleaved to that little baby as it drank from her breast, we find her there at the foot of the cross. Listen, when you got saved, you might not realize your journey. When I took you by here, but my prayer is that at the end of your life, you might find you're still kneeling at the foot of the cross and look to Him and know that He is still sufficient for all of our needs. Let's get some song to sing. How many in hell today, no doubt, have said or thought the same thoughts of the innkeeper? If I had only known who was knocking at my door. In all fairness, Joseph, no doubt, was a stranger to the innkeeper. This was not a friend, a friendly face when he opened the door. This was not a long-lost friend. This was not somebody that was dear to the innkeeper's heart. And even though in all of his busyness, it was a stranger. I'd say that's the very same reason that so many people today, when the Lord knocks upon their heart, they open not to Him because it's not a friend. It's not someone dear to them. But it's only because He is a stranger to them. But He desires to be that friend. The Bible says, will stick closer. Dear brother, He wants to be that friend. That when everything else fails, He can say, I made the way. You need not worry about falling by the wayside. The way's prepared. I'll give you strength. Just raise up and put one foot in front of the other. All you got is one more step. One more step and one more step. And with every step we'll find that the Lord will give us the strength for the very next one. You know, some might take issue with me whether Mary was apprehensive or not, or Joseph. I know that with couples sometimes, you've got one that's the worrier and the one that's the voice of reason. I don't know if that was, we know very little about Mary and Joseph other than God. I looked upon Mary and He seen that she was fit, that she was holy, and that He chose her among all women. So she must have been pretty special. But I don't know what kind of relationship she had between herself and Joseph. If she was the one, after all, she was the one pregnant. She know how she felt. If she was the one worried if she would make it or not. And Joseph was saying, everything, honey, is going to be all right. The angel wouldn't have come to me and told me that you were going to have a baby and that its father was going to be the Holy Ghost for us to perish along the roadside. I don't know if maybe that's the way it was, or maybe Joseph was the worrier and Mary was the voice of consolation and saying, ever, honey, everything's going to be all right. I'm not really feeling that bad, when yet He still seen that she was heavy with child. I don't know, maybe after all the Bible don't say, maybe they both were so encouraged and happy. After all, you know, they both made the trip and knew that everything was going to be all right. Maybe Joseph read it in Micah. Maybe the very week he left on the trip and knew that he was going to make it. And he shared it with Mary. I have no idea. But don't you imagine it was a little disheartening when they come to the end. They didn't know that the Lord had prepared for them a place. And He no doubt already told the angels, listen, you're going to tell the shepherds where they can find my son. He won't be behind no locked door in some inn. That he'll be there for the world to see. Lying in a manger, if only they would pass by. And it's still the same today, is it not? He's not behind some locked door, glory to God. You don't have to pay $5 for a room at night to be able to sleep next to Him. But you can rest. And it'll cost you no money at all. All it'll cost you is your will, and His will is much greater. For His will comes without worries and uncertainty. My will is burning down with doubts and worries of the unknown.
But if we'll just accept His, we can know that everything is going to be all right. All right in the sense that everything will come to pass as God sees fit. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for your attention. And I pray that this next year that we're entering in, that we might ponder and think upon the Holy Scripture. We mentioned that in a Sunday school where the Bible speaks about the poor. And sometimes when we read that, we read a Scripture, we'll say, because the poor are blessed, we'll say, boy, I'm glad I'm a poor, instead of really asking the question, oh, why has God chosen the poor? Is it because they have no money in their pockets? Or was it because of a particular attribute that poor people possess? And if we are poor, do we possess that attribute? And if we are rich, do we still not need to possess that same attribute, that same personal quality? And if we lack it, we need not to wring our hands, but we need to clasp them together and pray to the Lord that He might give us of that gift. For we serve a Savior that gives to His children most freely.